Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legend and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so
beware.
Fearscape. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to Fearscape here on 100.9 FM WCHQ, as well as the Destination Nation Network. My name is Stefan, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Josh Rutledge.
Hey there, how's it going?
Pretty good, Goofy. It's going pretty good. Thank you guys for tuning in as usual to hear about all the things spooky and ooky and kooky that we could find and weird. And we are in Halloween month. This is our month.
This is all for us.
This is all for us. And we are going to be staying away from aliens this month.
Yep.
We're going to be focusing on the spooky things that we find. Monsters and cryptids and ghosts and all that jazz. All the things famous for Halloween.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, do we have one hell of a story today. I preface that because our story comes from one of the scariest books of all time. Because that's where all these monsters can be found. The Holy Bible.
Yep.
We are covering monsters of the Bible. And in our research, we found more than we thought.
Yeah, there was quite a bit referenced in the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, you just get into Revelation or Daniel alone, you know, you've got way more than you ever realized. Yeah. So we're going to be covering those. But before we get into that, I have got a little bit of spooky news that I would like to get into. So let's move ahead and get right into spooky news. All right. So the spooky news I got this week, Josh, comes from Fox News. Now it just so happened. Now I know that, you know, not everybody trusts Fox News. I don't. This story I found on multiple platforms. This is just the one that I liked the most in terms of the information and how it was put forward. But this is, I know I said no monsters, but it's spooky news. No aliens, but it's spooky news this week. A team of alien hunters led by Blink-182 co-founder claims to have found UFO material that's unknown to scientists. Now, before you laugh at Blink-182, most of you know that the lead singer, Tom DeLonge, is actually the guy that co-founded to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. They have been making huge waves in the paranormal extraterrestrial community. They are the ones that pushed the Navy to release the information that they have and all that stuff.
That big show that was on History Channel recently with... Well, they were talking about all of that. He was the driving factor.
Yeah, he has been a huge factor. To the Stars Academy is an absolutely really cool organization. I highly recommend checking out their website. There's a lot of really cool information. They come at it from a scientific background. It's absolutely phenomenal. Anyways, so let's see. They say that they have found UFO as evidence. So the team most famously turfed up classified footage of UFOs recorded by American pilots that were confirmed as real by the U.S. Navy earlier this month. So I believe we covered, I don't think we covered this on Spooky News, but I did drop it in the Fearscape Facebook and stuff, where the Navy did confirm those videos that were released a couple months back. So yeah, really crazy. But DeLonge was speaking to the New York Times, and he gave a tantalizing tease of their next big scoop. A reporter asked whether the team had obtained exotic material samples from U.S. UFOs, and the spokesperson responded saying, "Certainly."
Wow.
That's crazy. No further details were given, so it's not entirely clear what material they were talking about. But back in July, DeLonge's organization said the same thing about their own research as well. So these guys are coming together.
Mixtape Volume 2.
Mixtape Volume 2. They say that it's potentially exotic materials featuring properties not from any known existing military or commercial application. That's insane. That's insane. They, to the stars, they have not yet provided proof. But what they said was, what we've been doing is trying to find the most qualified individuals at the most respectable institutions to conduct the scientific analysis for us.
Yeah.
They said the scientific analysis includes physical analysis, it includes molecular and chemical analysis, and ultimately it includes nuclear analysis. They said they are not in a hurry to release this yet, which makes sense to me. Yeah. And, you know, people, skeptics can say, well, that's because they don't have anything, but we know on the other side of things that they really want to make sure that this information is verified.
It's validated, goes through all the right, you know, steps and checks and balances. Yep.
Yeah. According to the organization's website, they say that the Academy is a collaboration between academia, industry, and pop culture to advance society's understanding of scientific phenomena and its technological implications. You know, this is insane. That, like I said, they're the ones that pushed the Navy to come out and talk about the near daily interactions that they had with mysterious flying objects in 2014 and 2015.
Well, and if you haven't, you know, if you haven't watched that show that was recently on the History Channel, I can't remember what it's called, but there are episodes in that show where they're like going in front of senators in Washington trying to get them to pressure the Navy to actually release, you know, official, you know, a word that UFOs and that they were captured. So I mean, it's not captured as in they had, you know, but the video footage was real,
right? You know, and to talk about a little bit what the Navy pilots dealt with, across several interviews, pilots described objects moving at hypersonic speeds and performing acts beyond the physical limits of a human crew. In fact, Lieutenant Ryan Graves said that he saw strange objects with no visible engine or infrared exhaust plumes, reaching at least 30,000 feet and flying at hypersonic speeds almost daily while training off the aircraft carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt.
Yep.
And this is Graves. He's an FA-18 Super Hornet pilot. He's been with the Navy for 10 years, and he said these things would be out there all day long. And he said, keeping an aircraft in the air requires a significant amount of energy. And with the speeds we observed, 12 hours in the air is 11 hours longer than we'd expect.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think we'll see, you know, real evidence in our lifetime?
I do. I absolutely do. At this point, I really do. With the age of the internet, with super cameras that everybody has, I think, and we're starting to see a resurgence again over the last few years. And, the alien sightings tend to come in waves.
Yeah.
And I think we're about to hit another one. And especially with the interest is back with the even as goofy as it was, the Area 51 raid, just everything, that interest is back.
Yep.
And with To the Stars Academy, like the money that they've got pumped into it and things like that, I absolutely think
they drew the attention of the History Channel.
Do I think we're going to see, like, the day the Earth stood still, you know, a craft landing, take me to your leader? No, because I don't think our understanding of it is that.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, you know, UFO doesn't necessarily mean alien.
Right.
I mean, it could just be that, you know, government or governments have some really experimental craft that they've been able to keep under wraps for a long time. And, you know, it could be interdimensional. I mean, yep. There's a number of things that it could be. It could be time travel. Who knows?
So, but, yes, I think we're going to find out. And I think why different cultures and different decades and things like that have seen different shapes and different things like that is space travel's not easy. And so we may be just seeing waves of different cultures coming.
Right.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I think the ones that landed a long time ago in Mesopotamia and in the South America and yep. things like that, and became the originators of our gods today.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion. Anyways, let's get moving on. Speaking of gods, that was spooky news. All right, so we got a little bit of creepy catch-up before we get into Monsters of the Bible. So let's just jump right into creepy catch-up.
Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Y'all, it's creepy.
All right, I'll let you go ahead and go first. You said you got a little creepy action.
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about my bathroom events at work a couple weeks ago.
Yes, the foot tapper.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a clear to throat.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of Congress.
Anyway, I went, again, used the restroom the other day. The faucets are motion activated, and one of the faucets kept turning on. Now, granted, those things can malfunction. I understand that. But I also, while I was kind of listening, in between the faucet turning on and off, I would kind of hear some light breathing. And there was nobody else in the bathroom.
Now, is the building you work at, without giving away where you work, is it an older building, newer building?
I think it was built in the late 70s, mid 80s.
Definitely time enough for folks to have died or died and bring their spirit there, because that's where they worked their whole lives.
Or whatever was there prior.
Well, yeah, that too.
I mean,
too.
Louisville's old, but it's not been there forever.
Yeah, so. And there were absolutely buildings where buildings were. Yeah. So, didn't think about that. Interesting. It's time to find a new bathroom.
Well, it's funny because I went to wash my hands, and I just kind of, nobody was coming in or anything. I just kind of stood there, was like, are you here? If anybody's here, please make your, I was trying to do like a, trying to get it to maybe turn the sink on again or something like that.
Right.
Nothing else happened, I got a wedgie, but that was about it.
That was your boss. I had a weird one actually here. I was here last night with my other podcast on Happy Campers on the Destination Nation Network. And we cover horror movies, and we covered an old Sid Haig movie. He just passed away recently, this actor. And we watched this movie, Spider-Man. It was great, great old movie. But anyways, we're getting ready to leave. And one of our other hosts is a smoker. So they went outside ahead of me. And it's late. It's like 10:30 at this point. No one's here. It's dark. And I was like, crap, I can't turn the alarm on unless they shut the door. So they shut the door but didn't lock it. So I'm standing here by myself in this dark, it's already done dark. And this place is haunted. If you've heard us talk about it, it's so freaking haunted. And I didn't hear it, but I felt it in my head. Like I get out, and I'm like, I finally get it. And then I feel somebody poking my back as I'm running. I'm literally running down the hallway. So knee surgery worked.
Yeah.
I'm running down the hallway and it's like, someone's like poking my back I'm like, yeah. Like it. Oh, I hate this place, but love it at the same time.
Yeah.
It definitely, I felt pokes in my back, and I felt that urgency to get out of there.
It was bedtime,
It was bedtime.
Yep.
I don't know, but I had to get out of here, but it freaked me out.
My goodness, that's crazy.
It was good. It freaked me out so much, I didn't even tell Lance and Ben about it, because I was like, I needed to get home to my wife. I didn't want to talk about it. I just wanted to go home.
Now, that is, I can't wait till we can maybe do a investigation.
Yeah, we will be. That's creepy catch-up then.
Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Y'all, it's creepy.
So speaking of investigations, we will be investigating the Bardstown this month. A good group of us, you and me, and I think Brad's going to be there. Yeah. Naoma from Country Roots is going to be there, and her husband, and she has another friend who's a ghost hunter, and we're going to be exploring the very haunted The Bardstown, a Shakespeare-themed restaurant over at Speed Avenue and Bardstown Road here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm already ready because I have most of my creepy catch-up has been about the Bardstown.
See, I've not done an investigation in like 11 years. So
yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. He's given us access to everything, Doug Shuddy over at the Bardstown. So if you have not been out to the Bardstown, I'm going to go ahead and plug them right now. Go check them out. The food is absolutely phenomenal. It's all Shakespeare themed, but it's delicious. There are shows almost every single night, yep, whether upstairs in the theater or over in the lounge. Yeah, go check it out. So, but anyways, let's get into this, man. Let's get into the monsters of the Bible.
Yeah.
So I know you and I have had an obsession with this since back in our Christian days. We were always obsessed with like Revelation and yep, Daniel and Ezekiel and all the weird stuff. And so it's kind of a guilty pleasure for us to dip into this.
Yeah, I mean, it's there is just some really interesting imagery, mm-hmm, which is just talked about in the Bible.
Yeah, and it's so, not just Old Testament. I mean, no, we've got New Testament as well.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of cool. So, I mean, I went through and I did quite a bit of research, you know, a couple different sites, and came across, you know, quite a few mentions of things. And I sat here and added them up. There's like 16 different monsters, entities, whatever you want to call them, that I found. So, let's jump on into the first one here. So, I kind of picked this one to be the first one because A, it's fresh in my mind, and B, I think it's really kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is cherubim.
Yeah. So immediately comes to mind is Cupid.
Yeah.
The little baby with his
little
diaper,
bow and arrow, shoot you with it and you fall in love.
Right. And I can probably already say that was a massive mixture of Christian and Roman mythology mixed together.
You look across, you know, a lot of European cities and the artwork and the mm-hmm sculptures and stuff, and you got these little naked babies with wings and harps and all that kind of stuff. And and so you're thinking, the creature that actually expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden was the cherubim.
So wait, little baby Valentine is the one that held the giant flaming sword. And I just said sword. I totally said sword. I've never said that in my entire life until I'm joking. But yeah, what we think of as the baby is actually not a baby, but this is what expelled Adam and Eve. So the thing that they should be the most frightened of,
right,
is what history has deemed as the cutest.
Right, exactly. So in my investigation, I have found that in Middle Eastern art, they are actually often portrayed as a lion or a bull with eagle's wings and a human face.
Sheesh.
So now take that image and imagine it holding a flaming sword,
right?
And chasing you out of the Garden of Eden. I think from that I would probably actually be a little more scared and want to leave.
Yeah, and there are some that say that it had four faces, that it had the lion or the bull, an eagle. It also had like another type of domestic animal. Sometimes it kind of looks like a monkey. Sometimes it had the lion on one side, the bull on the other. Many different things, and multiple wings and multiple eyes. And it's just absolutely creepy, especially in Eastern Orthodox. They have pictures that they use in their religious iconography that they use that shows these creatures with all four of these wings and just
so
woo.
You know, it's what's interesting is kind of the cross population of ideals, and I don't want to make this about aliens, but that's where a lot of the alien people say is that, you know, these cultures that are spread out by like thousands, if not you know, hundreds of thousands of miles, yet they have similar iconography in portrayed. So when I think about it, I think there's a statuette in Mayan culture that has a bean with four faces, one on each side of like a block.
Yep.
And so you wonder if that was, you know, their representation of cherubim, you know, similar to the Middle Eastern representation.
Right, and mostly where our description of this comes from is Ezekiel. And in fact, Ezekiel really goes in deep by saying that they're depicted as having two pairs of wings, four faces, that of a lion, an ox, a human, and an eagle. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were hooves of a bull, gleaming like polished brass. So, I mean, that's just nuts, man. And, you know, you get into, like, Assyrian culture and stuff like that, because the Middle Eastern culture, cherubim are more than... It was not a Jewish design.
Right.
This was already immersed into this culture. I mean, you find many four-winged type statues and art all through that area.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, it's definitely...
I mean, in a way, it's almost like the Sphinx a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems to be kind of a common thread with a lot of the things that I found, and I think this is true in a lot of the monsters of the Bible, is that they're not one thing. They're, like, comprised of different aspects of a bunch of different creatures, right? So there's wings of an eagle, head of a lion, so on and so forth. And when you think about the Sphinx, I mean, it's... The Sphinx is the head and face of a human, but the body of a is it a tiger or a lion or something like that?
I don't know. I'm watching Dragon Ball Z. I don't know. But you have here in your research, I find very interesting, that they're regarded in Christian angelology as an angel of the second highest order of the ninefold celestial hierarchy, which means they would be just under like Michael and things like that, correct? The archangels?
Yeah, I believe that's right. And it actually says here that they were, in biblical tradition, they attended on God.
Wow.
So they were like, God's like, hey, man, get me a beer. And the cherubim were like, okay, I'll go get one. You know, so, but yeah, I guess that's...
So, yeah, they were the ones that tended to God, guarded God's domain. So, you know, there are some theories that Eden literally was heaven. You know, that's what they were in.
Yep.
And so it is them that also guard heaven. Yep. So when we think of St. Peter guarding, it's really these creepy looking cherubim that are like, did you do what you were supposed to do?
Yeah, it makes you wonder what the pearly gates actually look like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what did it say? It said they were polished, right? So the pearly gates are really just 2 feet that open from one of the cherubim. I guess
this is getting into a really weird area.
Yeah. Well, so do these monsters.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, I guess going on from cherubim, because we're talking, you know, about angelology and stuff. I guess it would make sense to kind of jump now into all the other angels.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't think of angels as monsters, and we don't technically either. This kind of fits more into the entities we talked about. I mean, for the most part, angels are good entities until we get into the fallen angels. But so what kind of angels do we have?
Yeah, so there's actually, well, according to here, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I guess we've got about 6 or 7 different types of angels.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've got ordinary angels, which, you know, it says here have kind of the appearance of handsome young men and... Interesting here, no wings.
No wings?
Yeah.
So then these are the ones that you see, like, when you're in a car wreck and you say you see someone that pulled you out and you never saw them again, that those are the angel sightings. Michael Landon, Highway to Heaven.
I was like, was it that Highway to Heaven? But yeah.
Yep, Highway to Heaven. Exactly. So Michael Landon was an ordinary angel.
But it says here that, it, you know, it's a, you know, it's got a number here of in the thousands. I'm assuming there wasn't some type of an angel, you know, a census that was done where the ordinary angels filled out, you know, and that's how they got the number. So I don't really know where this
they make up the bulk of the army.
So
to speak. And it's interesting because, you know, when God said, hey, I made them in our image, I would assume he was then speaking to these ordinary angels,
right?
Not the cherubim.
Not the cherubim, right? You know, and it kind of goes on here to say that the kind of role that these play, again, is they're messengers, jailbreakers, rescuers. So again, it's you know, you're in a car accident and you know see, like, I don't know how I ended up outside of the car without a scratch on me. It's because one of these ordinary angels stepped in on and took care of me.
And in the New Testament, lovers.
Yeah.
It was not God that impregnated Mary. It was one of these ordinary angels.
Yeah. I guess.
So.
I don't want
to. Yeah, I mean, we're dipping into theology here. Yeah, but really, if you think about it, I mean, that God sent an angel, and it was an angel that did so.
But, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I don't want to. But I mean, but it was an angel, so. Per theological thing, so Jesus was the Son of God. God impregnated Mary. He just used
an angel as the
to do it.
To do it, yeah.
So the angel had like the turkey baster, and
see, you took it there. I didn't take it there.
In vitro, you know, yeah, I don't know, but
yes, yeah. Good Lord.
Sorry, man.
I didn't go there. Just know I didn't go there. I wanted to, but I didn't. But yeah,
sorry.
In vitro.
Graphic. Sorry. All right, so next on the list, we've got archangels. So this is like, you know, Michael, Gabriel, I believe, is an archangel.
Uriel is one. I'm trying to think of all the ones on
what,
Supernatural.
Was it Lucifer?
Lucifer was absolutely an archangel.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, interesting here. Handsome young men, no wings.
Really? Because every depiction of Michael, because they don't usually make it. But I mean, I guess if they were to show up to, you know, to announce the coming of Jesus, you know, and they had these huge wings and all this stuff, people were like, oh, my God. Yeah. But it was just a guy standing on the street corner.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you think about it, if you're announcing the arrival of something, to your point, and you're just kind of standing there and you're spreading the word through the crowd, so to speak.
Yeah.
It has more power than if you were to come down on wings and all that kind of stuff. So, I guess it kind of makes sense. The thing that keeps coming back to me is, so, ordinary angels, archangels, the next one we're going to talk about, it says no wings for them either. How do they get there?
I mean, through the transportation machine that the aliens provided.
Probably the chariot of fire that. Wasn't there a chariot of fire that took somebody such and such up to heaven?
Yeah, it was
Joshua.
Josh, I don't know, one of those guys.
Anyways, somebody will probably correct us.
I'm over here like Methuselah.
somebody will correct us.
Oh, so we've got other. Oh yeah, Azrael is an archangel. Enoch, Metatron, not.
Megatron?
Not Megatron. Metatron.
Okay.
Is that... I think Raphael.
So it's interesting that Gargamel's cat made the list?
Yes. Gargamel's cat did make the list. Here's the seven archangels. We've got Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, Sarakiel, there's one I've never heard of, Raguel, and Remiel. But... an apocryphal book mentions that, that Joel was also one. So
Joel.
It's like Raphael, Gabriel, Sekriel, Raguel, Joel, and Mikael. I mean, that's how it's done.
Billy Joel.
That's how it's pronounced.
All right. So the archangels, it says probably one or possibly seven. You just read the seven off. Mm-hmm. Their role that they play is to protect the Jewish nation and herald to the second coming.
Yeah. So, and the first coming.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, they absolutely did that.
Well, we're assuming, never mind.
Yeah. So, in Eastern Orthodox, so many different ones make the list here. I find really interesting. Because in Eastern Orthodox, we also have Sialatiel, Jigwediel, Barakiel, Jeramiel, and then, of course, Uriel, Raphael, Michael, and Gabriel. Those are kind of like the main ones you always hear of.
So I'm wondering how much of that is additional archangels versus variances on the pronunciation or translation of a name.
Yeah. Even Protestants have a different set. The Anglican Church also counts Chamuel, Jophiel, and Zadkiel in their picture of their the archangels. It's really interesting. And then if you really want to get deep into it, I mean, we've talked about Lucifer, Azazel. I mean, there's these other hierarchy angels that fell.
Right. So. Well, that's and those are actually a little further down the list here in our they actually break apart fallen angels into, but anyway, so what's interesting on the list here is that archangels and Gabriel is called out as two separate things.
And maybe it's because Gabriel has such a specific role that he's separated
from he's God's messenger.
Yeah.
He's the quote-unquote voice of God.
He is the Mercury.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so again, no wings.
Just blows my
because
mind.
Again, I mean, he falls into the archangel category, so he's called out as being God's messenger. But
yeah, it makes me wonder when angels really started being depicted with wings in arts and art culture. I mean, usually a lot of that art really happened around 1400s and things like that.
So. I wonder if it really had to do with drawing a distinction between us here on Earth versus a heavenly,
instead of just the halo around their head,
right
because a lot of the old pictures, that's what you see, especially in Catholicism, is that halo around their head.
I mean, in it if you really wanted to drive the separation between the world of men versus the world of God, then to give the creatures or entities of God some special function or feature kind of again distinguishes them as not really being men.
So. Yeah. It's interesting as well because the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they have a different idea about angels because, the whole get your own planet type stuff like that. And they believe that everyone that is holy was human at one point. And in this, they believe that Michael was actually Adam. Adam, when he ascended to heaven, became the first archangel, became that, and that Gabriel was known in mortality as Noah. That Noah is who became Gabriel.
So they just leveled up.
They leveled up. Absolutely. Woo! Yes.
So next on the list, we've got the Seraphim.
Yes, Seraphim. Oh, man, Sister Act is already... I can hear them singing right now about the Seraphim. Man, being Catholic, we always sang about the Seraphim. But we sure didn't talk about what they look like.
I want to say it. It says here they've got six wings. So I'm thinking, what else in nature has six wings? Like, dragonflies have four wings. So I guess it'd be kind of like that, but with two extra wings?
I guess. Is there nothing else? I mean...
I'm trying to think what else would have more than four wings, and I really can't come up with anything. If anybody listening can think of a creature in nature that has more than four wings, let us know.
Yeah, in the book of Isaiah, which is one of the first places the seraphim were talked about, they describe the six winged beings that fly around the throne of God. They are the ones that cry, "Holy, holy, holy," which is what you always hear in Catholicism and Christianity, the songs. This was important, for that triple invocation of holiness as a way to future reference the Trinity.
Yep. So. I mean, we're assuming they only said it three times, right?
Right, yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't there. but yeah, Solomon's temple was known to have lots of images of the seraphim. He was pretty obsessed with them. The Book of Enoch has a lot of seraphim mentioned in there. They are also called Achiest, which translates to dragons and is also an alternate term for hell. Very
interesting. That is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole so much, but how much of what we understand from the Bible is just poor translation?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's why there's 50,000 different translations out there,
Right. So, all right, moving on to the next item, we've got the, fiery ones? Fury?
Yeah, the fiery ones.
Yeah. So, I'm not entirely sure how to read this description. I'm going to read it as it's written here, but it doesn't make sense to me. But it's two covering face, two covering feet, two for flying. Maybe that's wings. Two wings covering the face, two covering the feet, two for flying.
Could be.
That would be the only thing that kind of makes sense for the two for flying aspect.
Yeah, maybe it's like Captain America, how he's got the wings on his... I mean, seriously.
Wings on his helmet.
Submariner has the two wings on his feet.
Well, what's the Greek, the messenger in the Greek mythology that had the winged shoes?
Yeah, not Mercury. What's the Greek version?
That is Mercury, isn't it?
No, Mercury is the Roman version.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! This is gonna.
I should know this.
Like all I can think of is the Disney movie with when he's like walking around and Hades is like, "Hey man, you know it's like, yeah.
Hey buddy, can we talk to you for a minute?"
I don't think that's Hades. I think that's Beetlejuice.
Nope. I just want to talk to you for a minute.
That's definitely Beetlejuice. Oh, I said it twice. I better not say it again.
Beetlejuice. Why can't I find Mercury on here? Okay, continue. I'm gonna find it because it's driving me nuts.
So the fiery ones, it doesn't talk about numbers here. The fact that it's fiery ones implies there was more than one. So we're just gonna go with more than one at this point. But they were around to
Hermes.
Hermes, yes, good job. Woohoo, power of the internet. So the fiery ones were around to sing God's glory.
So they weren't singing holy, holy, holy. They were singing God's glory, God's glory, God's glory.
Right. Yeah, they were just like singing his praises all over town. And
I wonder if the fire is the Holy Spirit fire, you know, like is that,
yeah,
implying something, or were they known to be?
Yeah.
Fiery.
Was it a literal fire or that's I don't know, maybe we can ask one day. All right, next on the list, already covered that, cherubim. So again, they were, we already talked a little bit about cherubim, but they guard God's domain. The four living creatures,
this is Daniel, right?
Yeah,
this is where we really get right into Daniel, and we didn't even talk about Ezekiel's like wheel and all that weird stuff.
No.
Whew. But yeah,
the wheels so in the sky keep
the
on
four
turning.
Living creatures are the ones that I've always known about that are the most creepy.
Yeah, so this is six wings and was covered with eyes. So it's like a potato with six wings.
Have you ever looked up like images of what people assume they look
like? Oh, I did, and then I didn't sleep well.
Yeah, because they're creepy.
So yeah, I mean, it says like, it makes the distinction here, eyes all around, even under his wings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's just covered in eyes. Eyes,
yeah,
everywhere.
Front and back is what it says in, because they're Ezekiel, this is talked about. It's also talked about in Revelation. I mean, it's like these guys are all over, as well as Daniel. I mean,
so have you ever seen the movie The Gate?
Yes.
So like
with Stephen Dorff.
So there's a scene where like this monster creature thing grabs the kid by his hand and holds him up, and then he lets him go. The kid opens his hand. He's got an eyeball in his hand. Mm-hmm. Now that freaked me out.
Yes.
Now I couldn't even imagine being covered in eyeballs. That would just
Yeah. They're also known as the Merkaba in Jewish mysticism. So there's a little something extra for you.
So
that's all I got.
Needless to say, you can't sneak up on them.
Nope.
They always see you coming, and definitely don't want to meet them in a dark alley.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Even though they're supposed to be good guys, like I still, and they hang around the throne with the creepy cherubim, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it just, you know, it's probably a really good party with all these guys showing up.
I'm gonna go hang out with Bacchus. Like, I just feel like it's a better party.
But so next on the list, Lucifer.
Yes.
So, there's only one of Lucifer. Like we said, he was an archangel. Is he still technically an archangel? I mean, he's a fallen archangel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if a general decides to go to the other side,
mean, he's still technically
a general. Is he still a general of the United States Army?
No. I mean, he's not an archangel of God. He's, I guess, an archangel of whatever else.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's king of hell, I guess. Even then, that's well, that's not 100%.
And that's not...
That's getting into mythology there. Yeah. I mean, even the image of Satan with the hooves and all that is stolen from pagan mythology, which, for me, as a pagan, really upsets me, you know, because that is our... our wild man, our god, our horned god, that they turn and pan, which they turned into the image of Satan to scare people away from our incredible god.
Yeah.
So I'm still mad.
And you know, I think there's also some conversation or discussion that I have at least heard in my many years of watching television and reading articles and things that says that Lucifer actually doesn't rule hell, but rather he rules the earth, and then
because if you actually read Revelation, cast into hell. Not just Revelation, but New Testament, that he'll be cast into the lake of fire.
Right. So
you know, and even then, there's nothing in the Bible that says that Lucifer is the devil.
True.
I mean, that is all conjecture. If you really, Ken Ham, if you're out there listening, if you're really literally reading the Bible, then Lucifer and the devil, Satan, are two different characters.
Right.
So whom God, and as well as the serpent as well.
Right.
In the garden. But yeah, if you read that, you know, the confrontation that they had about Job and everything like that doesn't mean that it's Lucifer.
Right.
And in fact, if he's a fallen angel and was cast out of heaven, means that he was punished. Why would God give him an equal playing field?
Right. Exactly.
Just to say.
So what really interests me about the whole Lucifer Satan thing is, and I don't want to derail this too much, but is the whole angels don't have free will.
Yeah. I've always said that.
But how did Lucifer fall?
And my same thing was said about Adam and Eve. Yeah. If they did not have free will until they ate of the apple, how were they able to do that?
Yeah.
How were they able to make a decision?
So again, this is probably a different podcast.
Yeah. I've always said that. Yeah. I've always wondered that. And Neil Gaiman writes a really, really, really great short story in his book, Smoke and Mirrors. It's called The Silver City. And he used a lot of that when he wrote Sandman and when he wrote the Lucifer comic. Yep. And they mention it in the Lucifer TV show, the origin of Satan, that it was part of God's plan, God intentionally created a dark area around the Silver City where all the angels lived. And there were voices there that spoke to Lucifer and caused him to question things, that it was all part of it. So it's really, really interesting, you know, if you think about that, because I can remember in college, at the Christian college we went to, having this conversation about God created everything. Did he create evil? If he's all good, how could he create all evil? So all these great questions for another podcast.
But yeah, and one last, speaking of Neil Gaiman, I just listened to a book that he wrote on Norse mythology.
Yes, I want to read that. I've heard it's amazing.
So first of all, I will say, if you can do audiobooks, it's really good as an audiobook because he does the voices.
Yes.
So it's really cool. But anyways, there was a one of the daughters of Loki. Her name, Hel.
Yeah, H-E-L.
Yeah, but that's where the origin of Hel is really.
Get into things, there really wasn't a lot of heaven and hell talk in the Old Testament. You've got Sheol, which is kind of more like a burial ground more than anything, where they stayed. It was kind of closer, from what I've read, to purgatory than anything.
We're getting way off topic.
Yeah, we're getting way off topic. Right, so let me get back to Satan let me get back real quick. The very first time that Satan first appears in anything is in the Torah. As a heavenly prosecutor, a member of the sons of God, who is a subordinate to Yahweh. So, and he prosecutes the nation of Judah in a heavenly court and tests the loyalty of Yahweh's followers by forcing them to suffer. So that's kind of where the first idea, in which they think was influenced by a Zoroastrian figure. There's just so much. There's always been, where there's good, there's evil. There has to be that balance.
The balance. Dark side of the force and all that kind of stuff. All right. I am going to take us out of angels.
Yeah. Because a lot of the Lucifer stuff we kind of covered, the fallen angels.
We
kind of
covered evil spirits.
They are also in the thousands.
You know, demons and all that kind of stuff that all kind of falls in there. So we're gonna step out of there. We're gonna get to some of the really nitty gritty monsters of the Bible. Most of this stuff comes from the Old Testament, but
yeah, let's power through these.
Yeah. So the behemoth.
Yes.
So this is in Job. Or Job, depending on which way you're in it. This is described as a gigantic, powerful creature that can only be tamed by God. So it's like the Kraken.
Yeah.
And Hades can control the Kraken. Nobody else can control
the Kraken.
Yeah,
no one else can.
Yeah. So his tail is so large that it moves like a cedar.
So like a tree, essentially. Yeah.
Right. This description has led some creationists to claim the behemoth was, in fact, a biblical era dinosaur. That's whatever. I don't want
to. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, offend anybody there. So, in Jewish tradition, the behemoth is a primal earth monster, a symbol of chaos. So yeah.
So they say it had a belly button, right? Yeah. So. They talk about that it's mentioned as having a navel, which would rule out it being a lizard. And so then you get into some people thinking that it's probably more like a hippopotamus or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've never met or seen a hippopotamus that would be described as having a
tail.
had a tail so large it moves like a cedar, but maybe hippopotami were bigger back then. I don't know. We've read them down to their actual size or something. But anyways, so...
And we got the Leviathan, another monster of Job, right? This is the one that I love. This is Nessie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is the second of the great monsters described in Job. Leviathan is a massive sea monster who's impervious to human weapons, breathes fire, and emits smoke from his nostrils. This is also... similar to an ancient Near Eastern monster called Lotan, which was a seven-headed giant serpent who represented primeval chaos. So it's kind of like Gohedra from the Godzilla movies.
Yep.
And a lot, there's even like a, much like the hippopotamus theory, there's one that thinks that just Leviathan was a crocodile, though crocodiles didn't breathe fire. So.
Right. well, this to me read more like the Kraken.
Yes.
You know, this kind of thing ties in. So, like, this story here kind of relates to the story of the Kraken.
Yeah, it's like a Kraken and a dragon mixed together, you know?
A Draken.
A Draken. A Kraken.
Kraken.
Kraken. Yeah. Sounds like an Irish name.
Yeah. Kraken.
Get over here, Kraken! Get your butt over here!
Kraken McGillicuddy.
McKraken!
That's the one that lives in Loch Ness.
Yes,
the
that
McKraken.
Is. McKraken.
So next up. Nephilim.
The Nephilim, the superheroes of the Bible.
Yeah. So they are half angel, half human.
Yep, like me.
Basically, you know, as it says, the offspring of angels and human women. I don't think they had any special powers or anything.
Which says that no angels are female.
It
implies that.
Well, I mean, in the table that we had before, it was all male and no wings, right? So. Mm-hmm. It says, I think we have a mention here of Seth, Cain, was on the bad guy side of the, Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Cain and Abel or Cain Abel. Angels were just coming down and...
Yeah, some people believe, there are some people that think that when Cain went to the people of, was it Nod? I can't remember because I'm not looking at it. But that those people were the descendants of these Nephilim, of these angels that mated with other siblings of Cain and Abel and created a whole new culture.
You know, I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, but what's interesting is... In a lot of the world's religions, there's this idea of whatever those sacred entities are, mating with humans and creating offspring. Mm-hmm. In a lot of like Greek and Roman mythology, you have, you know, demigods and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting in all of the Bible God religion, you never have a situation. The only time you have a situation of a God and human is with Mary.
Yeah.
Everything else is angel and human.
Yeah, angel and human, and this fits the ancient astronaut kind of idea that they were the missing link. I mean, here the Nephilim could have been, right, indeed the angels, could have been that missing link.
Right.
And there's people, of course, that think they were extraterrestrials.
Yeah. I mean,
so they came from the sky.
I could make a case for all of these things being extraterrestrials. Yep. But
I want to get into the dragon because I love dragons.
Dragons, yep.
So this one comes from Revelation, which, of course, is filled with the craziest stuff ever.
Oh, yeah.
The dragon is described as having 7 heads and 10 horns. So we're getting back to the 7 heads, right, of the ancient Near Eastern monster, the Lotan.
Yeah.
He also has a tail capable of sweeping 1/3 of the stars out of the sky. The author later identifies this dragon as Satan himself, who fights against God's angels and is cast into hell. Of course, the King James Bible, which has all the best monster references, refers to dragons elsewhere, but it mentions even unicorns and things like that were mistranslated. So, there's that. The King James, he kind of was like, well, this sounds cool.
Right, yeah. That's, you know, little artistic influence there.
So, but Daniel, you were going to talk about, saw more than just that, the four-headed living creature or whatever it was.
Yeah, so, he sees no less than 4 monsters emerge from the sea. One is a lion,
Godzilla,
with eagle's wings,
and then Mothra.
Yeah, so you got a lion with eagle's wings, which is then transformed into a human-like creature and has its wings plucked off.
So almost like the Sphinx right before the wings get taken.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
So one is a bear-like creature who is told to gorge himself on flesh.
That's nice.
Yeah, you know. One looks like a leopard with 4 wings and 4 heads. So this is like what's the dog with the...
Cerberus?
Yeah. So, and then one has iron teeth. Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about the 4 heads. One has iron teeth with 10 horns, with which it destroys the whole earth. And believe it or not, the vision actually gets weirder from there. These beasts are often said to represent 4 different nations that existed in Daniel's day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do a whole episode on Revelation. In fact, we probably will. But speaking of Revelation, we have the 200 million horsemen.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an epic army that appears in Revelation, although they're not to be confused with the far more famous 4 horsemen. Those guys are the ones that symbolize death, war, famine, and pestilence. These riders aren't to be messed with, though. Their horses have the heads of lions, tails like serpents, and spit smoke, fire, and brimstone out of their mouths. Eventually, they're responsible for the deaths of 1/3 of all mankind. The horseman army is led by 4 fallen angels, which is never good. So it's like, here's all these hellish creatures that you would think of come from hell that we've seen in horror movies, but no, they're gods.
Yeah.
They're on God's side.
Yep.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Next on the list, we got Abaddon's locusts.
Yes, Abaddon.
These guys are ruled by Abaddon, an angel of the bottomless pit whose name means destroyer.
Abaddon is always referenced in other stuff as a demon. You know, one of the rulers of one of the levels of hell.
Because they appear in Revelation, they're, of course, not satisfied with being normal locusts. Instead, they resemble war horses, not like the movie.
Right.
Have the stinging tails of scorpions,
ooh,
the faces of men, long hair like, it says like a woman's, but I mean, you know, there's
like anyone.
Fabio, maybe.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
And wear crowns of gold and armored breastplates. Their scorpions' tails are used to sting their victims, an experience that's apparently so painful that men shall seek death and shall not find it.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's lighten this up, okay? Let's get into unicorns.
Yeah, a little bit of
There's even a song that sings about why the unicorn didn't make Noah's Ark. But unicorns are mentioned literally 9 times in King James Bible. Here's the translation. It says, Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with band in the furrow? Unfortunately, linguists have since discovered that the Hebrew word Re'em, translated as unicorn here, actually refers to the aurochs, a distant ancestor of the modern cow, which went extinct in the 17th century, which is a shame because unicorns are far more interesting than a slightly larger than usual cow. In fact, there's a whole bunch of other mythical creatures in the King James Bible, like we talked about, that... because the translators were more interested in being poetic. There was the cockatrice, a rooster-headed dragon mentioned in the book of Isaiah, later has been scaled down into a viper. There was Lilith, which we could talk about Adam and Eve there, considered a female demon, has been downgraded to a screech owl, and mentions of satyrs, which were like Pan, have just been simply changed to goats, and those just aren't as fun.
Yeah, exactly. So we got three left on our list. No, we got quite a bit more. Okay, so the first beast and the second beast.
Yep.
Both of these are found in Revelation. The first beast is a monster, again, seven heads and 10 horns that mm-hmm. rises from the ocean. Features feet like a bear, mouth like a lion, and the general appearance of a leopard. The second beast... it has two horns and speaks like a dragon.
Hey, I'm a dragon!
Yeah, I mean, what does a dragon talk like?
I am Smog!
I mean, it could have a little dainty voice.
What's his name? Sean Connery. Wasn't he in, like, Dragonheart yeah. or whatever he's the voice of?
I am,
yeah. So anyways, it also allows for the first beast to kill anyone who doesn't worship it. So basically... the first beast looks mean, but has no power until the second beast arrives.
Wow, man. And, let's get into my favorite.
Yeah, go
vampires.
For it.
Ooh, there are vampires in the Bible, people. In Proverbs 30:14, it says, "There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives to devour the poor from off the earth, the needy from among mankind." Proverbs 30:14. It is in the Bible. yes, according to Bible Resource Open Bible, there are at least 30 verses with vampiric imagery or content. We're not even talking about just Christ having his followers drink his blood.
Yeah.
The topic is very contentious. Many claim that these passages have absolutely nothing to do with the bloodsuckers and can be explained easily by anyone with a cursory knowledge of biblical metaphors, blah blah blah, blah there blah. Are vampires in the
that's
Bible
right.
people
that's right
they suck blood and Jesus had his people suck his blood
well from a picture like you know
yeah
okay. glass but
right. but yeah I mean he
still,
poured it in there first
yeah exactly
he was changing them into vampires.
Go to sleep in the ground when you wake up. Mm-hmm. All right, giants.
And some of the Nephilim were considered giants as well.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if you have a really big angel.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you got the, of course, most people who, anybody who grew up going to any type of Bible school or whatever, anything there, or if your parents dropped you off for vacation Bible school when you didn't want to go, mm-hmm. then you probably heard about David and Goliath.
Yep.
Goliath being the giant of the Amorites, a race of giants. Mm-hmm. So again, here, this is really interesting. In kind of the common tellings, it's David and Goliath. Goliath is like a giant, but doesn't really talk about any other giants. But this is the Amorites, a race of giants, mm-hmm. are mentioned more than 80 times, including this quote from Amos 2. "Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also, it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite."
Yep.
So, lots of giants.
Lots of cedars.
But they killed them off.
Yeah, but what about werewolves?
Ooh.
We're going to hit one last one real quick. So, we got werewolves. This is one of mankind's first monsters. Now, we know that there is a condition these days where your whole body can be covered in hair, which is probably where a lot of this came. There was one example be found in Book 4 of the History of Herodotus, written in 440 BC. It said, "Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws." And that came from Daniel 4:33.
Wow.
So.
Werewolves. All these fun things that
we
hear about and read about and watch movies about.
And hear stories about, much like a listener story.
Yep.
So that's our monsters of the Bible. So we want to get away from that and move into other made-up stories. So we've got one coming in from a good friend of mine's friend. His name is Corey. And Corey sends us an amazing story. He's from Taylorsville, Kentucky. And here it is.
Hello, my name is Corey Adams. I've been listening to Fearscape for a while. And after hearing the episode on the Phoenix Lights, I figured it was time to write in. Sometime around 2011 in Taylorsville, Kentucky, I was with my girlfriend, who's my now wife. And I remember I was looking up at the night sky. And we both saw these giant orange lights. And I remember us both commenting on it and at the same time asking each other, what the heck is that? I remember there being distinctly three big lights in the center in a triangle pattern. And I want to say that there were other small orange lights around it, but I for sure remember three big ones in the center in a triangle pattern. And we watched as we saw the lights start to move around one another, almost like a synchronized swimming routine. Kind of like the way you see shapes fold into each other in a kaleidoscope. And then at one point, all the lights came really close together and bunched up at the center of the group. And then, in an instant, they all spread out and scattered in all different directions. Once it was over, my wife and I just kept saying to ourselves, what the heck was that? And at first, I didn't think to mention it to anyone for the sake of not sounding crazy. And I swear to you now I'm not making this up. Until the next day when I saw my friend Lance. You may know him, Lance Wayne, from the podcast you also host, Unhappy Campers. We were talking and hanging out, and then at one point, Lance says to me, I'm not sure how to say this, but last night I was outside and the weirdest thing happened, to which I immediately interrupted and chimed in with, the big orange lights? It makes sense that he would see it too, since he was only about 10 minutes from where I was the night before. But rest assured, I was relieved to know that someone else saw it at the same time. I never really knew what to think of it, honestly, and only ever think of it every now and then when my wife and I occasionally remind each other with, hey, do you remember those big orange lights we saw that one time? Almost as if to just make sure that neither of us had forgotten and that it really did happen. And then today, while I was catching up on the podcasts and listening to Fearscape, I heard the stories of the Phoenix Lights. And my jaw was literally dropping to the ground to hear stories describing the exact same thing I saw down to the triangle pattern detail. I even got a hold of my friend Lance to make sure he remembered it too, to which he did. As far as I know, none of us ever saw it again. But still, every once in a while, we'll remind each other of the time we saw those orange lights in the sky. So to make a short story long, I'll just leave you with pudding. Thanks for listening to me.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, that's the Phoenix Lights. That's like all the stuff that we've been talking about. That's everything.
Well, and when I saw that come in, the thing that really, like, you know, kind of stuck in my mind right away was skydivers at night.
Yes.
I mean, they could have, you know, like somebody could have been skydiving. So I jumped online. I was like, you know, surely if somebody was skydiving at night in 2011 around Taylorsville area, somebody would have had to report it. I did some scouring on the web. I couldn't find anything. There was no news story, no news article, nothing. So not to say that it didn't happen. It just,
I mean, Lance is a really good friend of mine, and I mean, him and I have chit-chatted about it. I mean, he legit saw it and he saw it at a completely different... So we have three people that saw this.
Right.
So if there's anyone else that was near Taylorsville around that time, let us know that you saw that too in the comments. But we got to get out of here.
Yep.
We got to get out of here. Thank you to all the ancient writers of the Bible for giving us, in fact, some of our ideas of where some of our horror movies came from and all kinds of things like that. And we only scratched the surface. There's a lot more information to be dug into to really dig deep, especially into Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, Book of Enoch. There's so much stuff really get into that, as well as some of the apocryphal writings. They really get into that stuff. We didn't even talk about Lilith being the first vampire, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. But we'll come back to Monsters of the Bible sometime, as well as Revelation and all that. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been such a great episode. Thanks for tuning in to 100.9 FM WCHQ, as well as the Destination Nation Network. You can find all information on WCHQ at WCHQFM.com, as well as thedestination.com/DNN for all of our other podcast episodes. And make sure to send your listener stories to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com and check out our website at fearscapepodcast.com. We've got a lot of information on there and links to everything else. But we got to get out of here. So I just want to say goodbye. Thank you guys so much. This has been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is out there.
And make sure, people, you guys hold those blankets extra tight. Good night, folks.